In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The October Revolution began 99 years ago this past Monday. And you might be thinking, well, this past Monday was November the 7th, so how could it be the October Revolution? But keep in mind that the Russians were on the Julian calendar prior to the Bolshevik Revolution, and so that was October the 25th on the Julian calendar. And they did not allow a full week to pass before they had martyred their first priest, St. John Kuchurov, whose memory we celebrate today. St. John was born in 1871 from a priestly family in the Ryazan region, which is about 120 miles southeast of Moscow. He was a very pious child and went on to study at the Ryazan Seminary and proved to be a very bright student and was able to enter into the St. Petersburg Theological Academy, which was one of the best theological schools in Russia, and he graduated there with distinction. And after he graduated, he was married, and he expressed a desire to be a missionary to America. And so he was ordained in 1895, and he was sent to Chicago. At that time, there was a very small parish that had been established only a few years earlier, but had not had a regular priest. And there was also a mining community consisting mostly of Carpathian Russian miners about 81 miles southwest of Chicago in a town called Streeter, Illinois, that he also served. This was a very remote island of Orthodoxy even at that time, because most of the Orthodox in this country were either on the East Coast or on the West Coast, and of course there are quite a few in Alaska. But here he was serving without any ability to be in regular contact with other priests. He had a congregation in Chicago that was very mixed ethnically. His people were very poor. They had a very difficult time supporting the church. And also, he was surrounded by people who were Protestants in a culture very unlike that which he came from. But he was a very zealous pastor, and he established programs to educate the children in the faith. He established a mutual aid society, which is one of the reasons why he's the patron of the St. John Kuchurov Society, which we talk about from time to time. But that's a diocesan fund that we've set up to provide for needs that arise in the diocese, because when you're small, as we Orthodox are, as a population in the United States, we have to help each other when there are needs. And at that time, that was all the more so true. People were dirt poor, and there were many needs that arose, and so he took pains to provide for those needs. The church that they had wasn't what any one of us would consider a church. Even a storefront church that we would see in America would seem like a palace compared to this, as it's described in his life. Eventually, he went back to Russia in 1900, partly because he was homesick and he missed his family, but also he wanted to go to Russia to raise funds so that he could build a proper church. Interestingly, the church in Streeter, Illinois, actually had something kind of like a proper church, because in the Chicago World Fair, the Tsar had built a replica church, and they dismantled it after the fair, and they moved it to Streeter, Illinois, and they reassembled it. And so that was the church that they had there. But the people in Chicago were in a building that was nothing like a church. But he raised enough funds, he came back, and he built a very fine church, which stands to this day. And I've only seen pictures of it, but I see Dee Dee nodding her head that it's a very beautiful church, because she's been there. It's the OCA Diocese of the Midwest Sea. That's where the Bishop of Chicago for the OCA now resides. You have to keep in mind, of course, that the OCA, like the Russian Church abroad, are both rooted in the Russian Church. That church was consecrated in 1903 by the future Hierarch Tikhon, eventually the Patriarch of Moscow. And St. Tikhon held St. John in very high esteem because he saw the work that he did. He saw that he was a zealous missionary, a very bright man, and so he increasingly called upon him to help with the administration of the American mission. And one thing that you should keep in mind is that St. Tekin and his predecessor, Bishop Nicholas, saw very much the American diocese as a mission field, not just as a means of taking care of those who are already Orthodox, but they had a desire to reach out to those that were not Orthodox, and St. John had a hand in that as well. And by this time, they were already beginning to do some services in English. There are some not very good translations that you can still see online, the Orloff translations, but at least it was something. And then eventually the Hapgood service book was done. I think the first edition of it came out in 1906 or 1908, so right around this time. And so a much better translation. But they were beginning to reach out and beginning to have some success. And by the time that St. John left the United States in 1907, the Chicago parish was one of the most thriving and self-sufficient parishes in the United States. But he asked to be relieved of his duties and allowed to return to Russia for a couple of reasons. One was that his father-in-law was ailing. He was also a priest. In Russia at that time, clerical families tended to produce the next generation of priests, and they also intermarried. And the way that most priests got a position in a new church was that either their father was that priest or they married the daughter of that priest. And so the father-in-law was saying, hey, come back and you can take my place. But by the time they got there, he had already reposed and his position had already been filled. And so he was assigned to mainly focus his efforts on Christian education. But also he went back to Russia because he was concerned about the education of his four children. He wanted them to have a proper Russian education. And he knew that in the United States, they were going to get more or less a Protestant education in the public schools, and he didn't want that for his own children. And so he was very excellent in the role that he had of teaching people about the Christian faith, but he desired to return to a parish position. He was in the St. Petersburg diocese, and eventually the position of the second priest at St. Catherine's Cathedral in Tsarskoe Selo, which is a suburb of St. Petersburg, became open, and he was assigned to fill that position. For historical context, to understand what was happening at this time, you have to understand that World War I began in 1914. This was devastating to Russia. The propaganda that we've all heard in our history classes would have us believe that Russia was this dirt poor country where everyone was treated terribly, and everyone hated the Tsar, and then the Bolshevik Revolution was this glorious popular uprising of the people, but that was not the case. Russia was a very prosperous country prior to World War I, but they were very unprepared for World War I. They didn't have the same level of technology. They were reputed to have one of the best armies in Europe. They certainly had one of the largest armies, but they didn't have the technology or the generalship that the German army had, and they suffered very badly during that war. And so finally things reached such a state in the country that the Tsar was forced to abdicate in February of 1917, and a provisional Democrat government was established. But this made things much worse, because when you have an empire that was all built on loyalty to the Tsar, and then you remove the Tsar from the picture, everything rapidly began to disintegrate. And so it wasn't long after that, in October, according to the Julian calendar, that the Bolsheviks were able to stage the beginnings of their revolution and take over St. Petersburg. This town that St. John was assigned to was, of course, right on it was a suburb of St. Petersburg. And so the Cossack regiment that was assigned there was still loyal to the provisional government, which was not yet surrendering or giving up the hope of eventually taking back over. And so they began to shell the town. And so St. John, along with the other clergy of the cathedral, made a cross procession through the city. And they did prayers for the end of fratricidal civil strife. One witness wrote, "The holy procession lingered. Twilight changed to darkness. Candles were lit in the hands of the praying people, and everyone was singing." And so that's how the night progressed. But the Cossacks decided to retreat. And as they were retreating, they warned the priest, "Isn't it time for you to stop praying and to start fleeing. And they said, we're going to carry out our duties. This is our parish. And they also thought, the people that are coming, they're our brothers. They're our Russian brothers. What are they going to do to us? But the next morning, the Bolsheviks rounded up the clergy. And they were accused of having prayed for the victory of the Cossacks. St. John tried to explain to them, no, we were not praying for the victory of anyone. We were praying for peace. We were praying for the end of hostilities. But they wouldn't listen to him. They punched him repeatedly as the Bolsheviks cheered. And finally, they dragged him out to the field, pulling him by the hair, and then they shot him. And then they shot him again, and he wasn't dead. And then finally one of them said, finish him off like a dog, and they shot him one more time. And he reposed. The effect on the church was immediate, because they immediately began to see what was coming. They had a very strong sense of the bad direction that things were beginning to head. Nothing like this had ever happened in Russia outside of a foreign invasion. But what would begin to transpire would prove to be far worse than any foreign invasion in Russia's history. Next year, we will begin to mark the 100th anniversary of these events, beginning with the martyrdom of St. John Kuchotov a year from today. We should begin to prepare ourselves spiritually, because for most of us, for the rest of our lives, every year, there will be 100th anniversaries of the new martyrs, because it didn't end here. This was only the beginning. It was as if the Bolsheviks stopped. They only killed St. John. They didn't kill the other priests. It was as if they wanted to see what would happen once they did it the first time, and they waited, and nothing happened. There was no punishment. But by the time the All-Russian Council in Moscow began to mark the commemoration of the new martyrs and to pray for them, there were already 15. And that was just the beginning. There would be many thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands more, so many that they cannot be named. And it's important that we remember. It's important that we never forget the lessons the church learned during the communist bloodbath. One of the shames of our culture, we hear, and rightly so, about the horrors of the fascists in World War II, the Nazis, Mussolini, and sometimes we even hear about the Japanese. And that's good that we remember that too. But very rarely do we hear, and how ignorant most Americans are, of the far worse atrocities perpetuated by the communists. We need to never forget what people who have rebelled against God and denied his existence and feel themselves under no ultimate justice are capable of. We need to remember what a great evil it is to be an atheist, because atheists try to present themselves as perfectly reasonable, but when you set yourselves apart from any ultimate authority, people are capable of the worst atrocities ever. Because as Dostoevsky pointed out in one of his novels, through one of his characters, if there is no God, all things are lawful. And that's what the communists proved to be true. Everything that was within their power to do, that they were able to get away with, they did. We also need to not forget the example of the new martyrs, because we don't know what the future may hold for us. We may very well find ourselves in similar situations. The people in Russia prior to the Bolshevik Revolution never would have thought that they would have seen what happened there. And most of us never would think that anything like that could happen here. But we could be very surprised too. And so we need to be prepared rather than surprised. And we also need to seek their prayers. Through the prayers of the Holy Hierom Martyr John Kuchotov, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen.